Mobile Mayor Sandy Simpson joining us now. Lots to talk about with the mayor, and thanks for coming back on.
And glad to be here, Sean.
Watched the announcement earlier this week that you, the question, I don't know how many times I've asked you over the last year or so and gotten a stare from you about that, but you did make the announcement. You are in.
Right. You know, Sean, as Gene and I contemplated that decision and the rest of my family, I mean, everywhere we would go, just the overwhelming support, and people were just saying, I mean, Sandy, you've got to run. And they were telling Gene the same thing, Sandy's got to run. Well, you know, you start to feel the sincerity of that. You realize that the things that, while you may have accomplished a lot, there's still a lot left to be accomplished, and we're well on our way to getting it done. And so I'm excited about it. I think it's just a really kind of an unprecedented opportunity to push some things over the goal line.
Yeah, that's one thing I was wondering, and listening to your speech where you announced that you're running again, that feeling, it must be, that you work so hard on a project, and if it hasn't come to fruition yet, but it's close, it would be hard to let that go.
And it is, Sean, because you see a change in any administration, whether it's the mayor level, the governor level, or presidential level. A new administration just completely can change the direction of, you know, project could be in midstream, and they just decide they're not going to do it. So when I think about relocating the airport, you know, trying to build a bridge, building a magnificent waterfront park, you know, I mean, all those things, if you stop and had to restart, you know, I'm not sure where they would end up.
And that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that. I mean, I just know from on the periphery, you know, that these things don't come easily.
No, they sure don't. You know, when I think about the negotiations on the Brooklyn by the Bay property, I mean, it took forever. But, you know, it's going to be well worth it because it tees the Brooklyn Aeroplex up for a very, very bright future. But more importantly, or just as importantly, you know, the opportunity to have a 150-acre waterfront park. And I don't believe there's a 150-acre waterfront park on Mobile Bay. And I'd be interested in knowing what it is along the coast of Alabama if there's one that big. But anyway, it's going to be significant.
Very much so. And to go from a lament of some citizens, right? I think a lot of citizens, that there wasn't a place inside the city limits, you know, that you could access, put your toes in the water kind of stuff. Here we are on the river, and we didn't have that access. To go from, hey, we don't have anything, to go into something that big, yeah, that's quite an accomplishment.
We're excited about it. And we actually started conversations about, you know, starting to visualize what can this look like, you know, how do we hire somebody to help us maximize the use of that park, you know, so that all citizens will have something that could be done there, that they could do there.
Mayor, did you come into your first term, come into office with ideas of, obviously you did, and you campaigned on them, what you're going to do for the city and what changes you're going to make. Once you get inside, do you have a moment where you go, well, that's maybe not as easy as I thought, or we have to do this a different way? I mean, are there ideas that you have when you're running for office, or anybody's running for office, and then you get inside, the dog finally catches the car, and you go, okay, this may be a little more complex.
The answer to that is yes, you have those thoughts, and it is more complex. Interestingly, as I've traveled around and met with other mayors, many of whom have been city councilors beforehand, they become the mayor, and they say they really didn't have a clue what all it took to be the mayor. Of course, I didn't have any previous experience, so I had no expectations on what to expect. But having come from the private sector, comparing to that, it just takes a lot longer. A lot more bases have to be touched. And there are truly people out there that, you know, want to thwart whatever effort that you may have for, it could be, you know, personal reasons or other reasons. So, yes, it's more challenging to do it, but that just means that's why you end up having to have a very diverse team working with you, because they will look at things maybe different than just the mayor, but they'll help you realize that there is a pathway forward to solve these problems. And so it's through teamwork that you get things done, but it does take longer.
And so does that mean, like, you're getting to this goal, you had this idea, like in from the private sector, you would have, okay, here's how the company is going to achieve this, and you move forward with that. And there are often pitfalls there, but in the public sector, I mean, you may not, do you get to run a straight line from what you wanted to do to the accomplishment, or do you end up having to take detours?
Lots of detours. You know, very seldom is it a straight line. But there have been situations that have actually ended up being easier than maybe anticipated. And I'll tell you one that I'm excited about. I'm not sure it's going to be easy, but I think that the buy-in is going to be incredible, and that's this Hall of Fame courtyard where we're going to honor Hank Aaron and the rest of our baseball Hall of Famers. I mean, the what that's going to do for the city of Mobile and for the pride in the city, and hopefully inspire some of our young people to be Hall of Famers once we complete that courtyard, I think it's going to be transformative.
I want to get back to the details on that, too, in the build-up. But before that, something you and I talked about during the news break, and really didn't get to finish our conversation, so let's do it right here on the radio. So with your experience in this city, and mine being a little junior to yours, and knowing the history of baseball here, what the heck happened? Why is it that, like, and I talk to people that are my parents' age and older, and they get this deep-rooted love of the baseball history for Mobile and baseball in general, but you get to my age and younger, it seems like it's just, I'm not saying nobody likes baseball, but they don't have that same connection.
Yeah. Sean, I don't know the answer to that, but for some reason it just flashed through my mind. You know, as TV became the medium that everybody was, where heroes were created, for some reason Joe Namath comes to mind and getting a $400,000 salary, if I remember correctly, and Broadway Joe and just the glamour. You know, it seemed to set it apart maybe in some people's minds about that time of years, that formative age, that, hey, maybe this is the direction I need to go. But obviously, on a when you transition like this country has from baseball to football, it's more than any one or two or five things. It's a whole network of things.
So this is an attempt to turn that around. To I mean, because I wonder, I thought about, well, our Mardi Gras history has always bound us together here, but I would argue the last decade, I've seen a resurgence in people paying attention to Mardi Gras at levels they maybe didn't when I was a kid. I wonder if that could happen on the baseball side as part of our history.
Well, we didn't really approach this from the standpoint of it changing the way we look at a sport. It had more to do with honoring those who are iconic sports figures who are known for who they were and what they did. When you think about Hank Aaron and what a gentleman he was and a humanitarian, how humble he was, and just from a role model standpoint of how many people would be better off if they could emulate Hank Aaron. So I thought is that we have some really great stories to tell just among those five, but even in the last 24 hours, we realize this thing is going to be much bigger, and it will grow past being Baseball Hall of Fame. Eventually, you'll see Football Hall of Fame, and even though Bill is the one that comes to mind, it's going to be more than that.
Okay, so it moves to other sports and kind of honoring those greats that came from right here.
Yes. And I'll give you two examples. You know, you could end up with pavers for everybody in the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame. It's just one idea. You know, another idea is that you could take all your professional athletes. There could be a wall that lists the names of every professional football player we have, maybe with the team and the year. I mean, you can build out so much with our heroes in all sports. I mean, somebody mentioned yesterday we had a professional woman's baseball player, and could she be considered to be recognized in this? And my thought is that right now this is in the formative stages where the seed was and the nucleus was the Cooperstown Hall of Famers. There's going to be a lot of interest in recognizing other people, which I think it makes it even better.
It does, and more reason for people to come and be in Mobile. And speaking of that, I just got to get an update here, because we've talked about this in the past, what a tough year 2020 was, but because of certain things and the way people spent money and online and money coming back to municipalities. How are the revenues for the city? How are we looking going in here? I mean, we're in this fiscal year, but I mean, we've got, you know, one leg in 2020 calendar year and one leg in 2021 calendar year. How are we looking?
So we ended up the fiscal year in a very strong fashion, which was very surprising. If you had asked me in last March, April, or May where we were going to be, you know, that was a very tense time, and we couldn't do projections with any sense of accuracy, okay? But anyway, we ended up very strong, and we have started off this year very strong. And, you know, it's just a blessing. And if you take that plus kind of the unprecedented investments that we've had from the state and from the federal government, specifically related to the port and the airport, plus the Brooklyn purchase from the state money for the governor's office. I mean, we have a lot to do to make sure that we take these dollars and invest them wisely, because it won't always be this way. And so we've got to make the licks count right now so that we can get a return on the dollars that are being pumped into Mobile.
And as we wrap up, I want to ask this kind of a bigger question. Next hour, we're going to talk about Transportation Secretary Buttigieg coming to Mobile. And I think back to the start of a discussion of this I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. And we were talking about, I think, Transportation Secretary Fox then came to town. So we got the Obama administration, now the Biden administration, and their transportation secretaries coming here. And I was talking to Congressman Carl about this yesterday. And he said, well, you know how this – I said, you know, it was – interesting that we got the Obama administration so interested in what was going on down here. And he said that was all courtesy of somebody who was part of the Obama administration being stopped in traffic trying to get, I think, to the Grand Hotel or something like that. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that conversation. Yeah.
So somebody was, I mean, so the traffic we're trying to solve was the impetus to get a presidential administration interested.
It's really about the congestion, and the congestion on I-10, it being a major east-west thoroughfare. But I will say this, that Buttigieg, if I said that right, I apologize, Secretary, if I pronounced that wrong, but he and I were in the same cohort at Bloomberg's leadership conference. And it was really a year where 40 mayors from around the world went and spent time in New York with Harvard and Bloom, called the Bloomberg Harvard Initiative. But anyway, so he and I were in class together for, you know, off and on during the period of that year. So if I were to call him, he would certainly know who I am. And so at the appropriate time, assuming he's confirmed, you know, I will make that phone call.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that you can call him and say, hey, remember when we were hanging out before? And there's this I-10 down here. Maybe you want to come take a look at it.
That's right. I will make the call. Just want to make sure I make it at the right time. He'll be drinking through a fire hose initially, and, you know, I don't want to get drowned out by the other noise that's out there.
Okay. Well, I know that you will, when that time comes, you'll let us know about it. And, of course, as is my way, I'll ask you about it probably 25 times between now and then.
Roger.
All right. Remind folks, so if they want to get more information, you know, because it's not like you're a new commodity, but somebody might be new to town, might be thinking about their vote coming this August, where do they go to get more about your campaign?
It's sandyformayor.com.
Very good.
Yep.
Mayor Stimson, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us today.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. You too. There's Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson joining us, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. And speaking of that transportation discussion, Stephen McNair is going to join us here in hour number two of the show. We'll talk more about the train portion of this, too, and what that could mean from a federal perspective in Amtrak. So we'll get into that. Also, we'll check in with Matt Murphy from Birmingham about the damage from the tornadoes that hit Fultondale. It's all straight ahead. Stay right there.